no tax.
Some are calling this the Super Bowl when it comes to healthcare. I think it's even more serious than that because it's not a game. I mean, we're talking about life situations here. 6 hours of oral arguments, 3 days, the Supreme Court. We are a stone's throw away from the Supreme Court. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Happy to be here and happy to be talking on the ground level with a lot of people concerned about what the Supreme Court decision could mean for so many. On day one, yay or nay, when it comes to whether the three-judge panel of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals was correct and whether or not they're going to put this on hold for now. We're talking about the Anti-Injunction Act of 1867, which, let me sum this up for you, bars challenges to tax laws before they're enforced. If that's the case, then the other 2 days would basically be wiped off the books. We wouldn't see any kind of a challenge till 2015 probably, when somebody could challenge it, maybe. So anyway, we're going to talk a lot about health care, obviously, the next couple of days. It affects every single one of us across the nation. And we are very happy to have with us Ethan Rome, who's the Executive Director of Healthcare of America Now. What does that mean? They are a huge grassroots group, 1,000 members, but representing 30 million people. 30 million people. They spent $53 million just over that when it comes to health care and getting the word out. Ethan, thanks for stopping by my little corner of the world here in D.C. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
How big is this decision? I kind of laid the groundwork here at the start, but to you, how momentous is this? Like I said, it is like the Super Bowl, only it's not a game. We're talking about lives and our health care. Sum it up for me, how important this is.
I mean, I think that this will be one of the most consequential decisions that the High Court will make in 100 years. It speaks fundamentally to whether or not Congress has the authority to regulate economic matters. And that includes health care, which makes up 18% of the economy. So we think that they do. There's 75 years of decisions within the Supreme Court that say that they have not overturned a regulation or a law under the Commerce Clause in 75 years, and it makes good sense, because if we can't pass national laws to solve national problems, then what are we going to do? And that's what this is about. Can we do that? When it comes to health care, separate and apart from all the arcane legal issues, the simple question is this: do we want to give our health insurance back to the health care companies? That's what this fight's about. Do we want the health insurance companies to run our health care, or do we want to? Right? They have been abusing insurance customers for years.
Right.
They get to deny our care, jack up our rates whenever they want. Right. This law puts an end to that.
See, now, and other people listening to you would say, oh, but wait, because we know it's split. You know, half of America thinks it's a great thing, half of America thinks it's a terrible thing, and we're going to end up having awful health care, and this is going to mess us up. So when they hear you say this, they say, oh, that's, what's he saying? That's going to cost us more money. It's going to jack up the rates. It's going to jack up our premiums, and it's going to affect whether or not we're going to get health care coverage from our businesses. What do you say to that?
Virtually nothing is going to change for people who already have health insurance. What this law does is a couple of simple things. The first is that it expands coverage for people who don't have health care because they can't afford it, or they can't get it because they have a pre-existing condition and the insurance companies won't sell them a policy. So those folks get health insurance, and for folks who can't afford it, they're going to get subsidies under this law. And that's a significant thing. And then the second thing is it makes insurance coverage better for all of us who already have it. For seniors on Medicare, it makes that better. For those of us in the private market, it's going to lower costs. It's going to help small businesses be able to offer insurance. It does eliminate the insurance company abuses. And it's making a huge difference in people's lives already.
Meaning, and when you say already, pre-existing conditions, what is it, 26 years old, up to 26,
yep,
you can be on your parents'
plan. You can stay on your parents' plan. 2.5 million young adults have stayed on their parents' plan and have insurance who would not otherwise have it. We've got millions, literally millions of seniors who have saved billions of dollars in their prescription drug costs. There's 105 million of us who no longer have lifetime caps on coverage. None of us are going to have annual caps on coverage when this law takes full effect in 2014.
Explain that. So somebody gets cancer. Somebody gets something really severe. You're healthy your whole life, and all of a sudden, boom, something happens to you. And you're talking about lifetime caps like Medicare, right, for example?
Well, here's the thing. It's very simple. There's lifetime and annual caps under insurance policies. And so you think you're covered, but it turns out that you are one illness away from bankruptcy. And you didn't think that's what was coming your way because you've been paying premiums for 25 years, whatever. And this eliminates lifetime and annual caps. And if you, God forbid, if you have an accident, if you get cancer and you need a lot of treatment, right? If you run up against annual or lifetime caps, then what good does the insurance do for you?
Right.
Right. Getting rid of those is part of this law. That makes a huge difference in people's lives. And if you just took that one thing, like if you're a senior citizen, you said, hey, all this law does is reduce my prescription drug costs by $600, $700, $800 a year. I mean, if you're on a fixed income, that's a serious thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's a serious, serious thing. And so those are the ways. By the way, preventive care. All new insurance policies, private insurance policies that come online, we get preventive care without any copays. We're talking mammograms, colonoscopies. Again, this is a serious thing. The ability to get preventive care and not decide not to because of copays. That makes us healthier. It makes you healthier as a person, makes us healthier as a country, and it saves money.
Last question. What do you think the Supreme Court is going to do?
I think they're going to uphold the law. I think they're not going to let politics get in that courtroom, and I think that they're going to uphold this law.
And how many people do you have here on the ground? Did a lot of people come because they were excited to see what was going to happen?
Yeah, but we've got lots of folks out. But the most important thing is that we and other organizations have brought seniors and families and small business people who are benefiting from the law, and each morning they're having a press conference to tell their stories about how this law is making a concrete difference in their lives. So we're not out there with thousands of people and signs and everything.
Right.
We've brought
stories.
People to tell their stories about how this law is making a difference in their lives.
Right, how it changed a pre-existing condition, something they had, which is what everybody's concerned about.
Yep, and that's the bottom line. People are worried, and this law does real things for people, and it gives you peace of mind.
Yeah. Do you... So in watching this all unfold, is this just still a huge moment for you? Because 2 years ago it passed, and so now here we go again. Is it still big in your mind?
Well, I mean, as we speak, right, as the Affordable Care Act is essentially on trial, just last week the Republicans proposed in the Congress a budget that would eliminate Medicare as we know it, decimate Medicaid, decimate other domestic programs from food stamps to education and more. Why? So that they can give an average tax break of $150,000 to rich people, right, to rich people that don't need it, and reduce taxes for corporations. Because, like, if you're Big Oil, for example, the most profitable corporation and industry on earth, apparently you need more subsidies.
Right? You're still fighting.
Right, because in these tough times, right, you're having a hard time. And so, but that's the thing. So we've got to continue the fight. We got to promote this law, but we got to beat back the Republicans who are trying to eliminate every program that middle class people depend on.
Ethan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Your family and loved ones aren't ready for empty grocery store shelves. Will they survive if the system crashes tomorrow? Are you prepared to feed your family when a major crisis occurs? Will they perish from the lack of available food because you procrastinated? Getting self-reliant is the only way to ensure you and your loved ones will make it through the coming hardships. One of the most important survival products that is a must-have is garden food seeds. GetSeeds.net is offering a huge garden in a bag that will give you and your family the food security that it deserves. Our food garden in a bag consists of a whopping 100 packets of the highest quality non-GMO, heirloom vegetable, culinary herbs, and a couple of garden variety of fruit seeds for only $59. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, 100 packets of seeds for only $59. This blowout sale will end soon, so call now to secure your huge garden in a bag that is heat sealed for long-term storage at GetSeeds.net. That's GetSeeds.net, or call now at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. Don't delay, call today.
Sugarfoot called me last night. He said his girl called him. She said, can I come over? She said, yeah, yeah, yeah.
As we continue talking about the what we think is going to be the 3 days of oral arguments before the Supreme Court, we'll see what happens after day one. And we're here in Washington, D.C., looking at all angles of this thing, of course. Judy Waxman joins us. We've talked to Judy before. She's the Vice President of Health and Reproductive Rights at the National Women's Law Center. We had a great conversation with her last time. Now, here we are. We were talking about misconceptions and what people didn't understand and what the coverage would be. Now, here we are with this actual challenge. Judy, as you look at this coming back, and now this is, there's a possibility, depending on what the court rules, it could be shoved off because of looking at a commerce law. It could be shoved off until maybe 2014, 2015 and get challenged again and just stay in place and
right.
and roll out. Or you hear the 3 days, and then ultimately the justices decide probably around 4th of July, let's say, or, you know, we know when the court wraps up in June. How, for you, watching this from the legal aspect and watching how this is unfolding, how does it make you feel? Because this has been such a big, it's been such like a, it's like giving birth to a baby, I think, for you. Yeah, I'm just going to assume
well,
that.
Well, there's a lot of pain and then joy when it finally got passed, if that's what you mean.
Right, that's what I mean. So now this is being challenged. So how does, you know,
well,
what's your emotion when
hopeful.
You watch this?
I will say it's scary, of course, because you never know what these people are going to do. But all signs point in the right direction. We, in fact, did submit an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, as it's called, with 60 other organizations signing on. And our point was a little different than maybe folks have heard about before. What we said is that women are discriminated against in the healthcare system, And there's lots of evidence to show that this law was passed, at least in part, to end that discrimination. And like other non-discrimination laws that have been held constitutional, this one will be upheld on that grounds as well.
And so when you say that for women, there's some people that don't understand, they'll listen and say, what is she talking about? Let's say there's a woman who's out there that says, well, we have coverage. I don't know what she means by that. Because my husband says, or we hear, that everything's, the premiums are going to go up. What don't they understand? Like mammograms, for example.
Yes. Well, mammograms are now going to be covered by all health plans without a copay. That is not true in the past, but moving forward, all plans will have to cover mammograms.
Were there a lot of women, in your opinion, that didn't get mammograms because they would have to pay $200, $300, whatever it was,
yes,
dollars?
Yes, the numbers are not that good for how many women do not get their mammograms. Now, of course, there can be a lot of reasons why they don't. But certainly, having a significant copay, or sometimes any copay at all, is a major barrier, which will be gone now.
Yeah. What in looking at this, for younger women, older women, younger women, do you think it's just connected? You could take a string and connect it. Are there mothers, in other words, that are saying, we need this coverage for my daughter. She's just graduating from college. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, there's certainly that. I mean, my own daughter is just out of college, and we're happy to report she did get a job with health insurance, which is really fairly unusual these days. But it was a burden lifted that we knew that we could keep her on our plan if she really had to, if it came to that, that she wouldn't have to go out in the individual market, or we wouldn't have to go out and buy a plan in which she was likely to be charged significantly more than a man for the same thing. Possibly not have contraception covered. Certainly, if it was, it would be with a copay. And all those things will be history as soon as this law gets into effect.
Do you feel pretty confident that it'll just stay?
I do. I feel very confident looking at what the justices have decided in the past, looking at the fact that very conservative justices have upheld the law in the lower courts. I, of course, always worry some. That is my nature. But I'm overall really pretty confident that we are going to uphold this law and move forward. I mean, this happens in our history. You know, Social Security's challenged, Medicare's challenged. When there's some big program like this, they're always challenged. But I'm feeling pretty good that we are going to just march along and move ahead.
All right, Judy, thank you so much for stopping by. Once again, it's good to see you. We'll see what happens with the Supremes in the next couple of days here.
Indeed. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. All right, just heard from Judy Waxman. Of course, we're looking at all angles of health care right here in Washington, D.C. Walking up, I noticed the Supreme Court is interesting. You had a lot of pro, a lot of con, a lot of really calm protesters, though, not people screaming and angry at each other, which I got to say was pretty refreshing, without a doubt. So when we look at these 3 days of events, day one is basically deciding the fate of whether or not this moves forward. And that's what the justices are looking at, certainly today on Monday and into Tuesday. The court's hearing 90 minutes of arguments on whether the three-judge panel of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals was right, and the whole case has to either be, you know, put on hold or what happens after that. And we're really talking about the law that I explained briefly at the top of this, the Anti-Injunction Act. You got to go back to the 1800s, folks, 1867, which bars challenges to tax laws before they're enforced, basically, because the requirement to buy health insurance is backed by an IRS penalty. So what does that mean? That means that whatever happens here, if they decide the challenges to the law are premature, then that would mean we're probably looking at 2015, like I said before, maybe April, before somebody could actually file, which would happen. I'm sure there would be other lawsuits. And, you know, because then you were talking about the first penalties that would have to be paid. So what's going to be interesting in reading about some of this is, in the two that are arguing, in one brief, one of the lawyers, Washington attorney Robert Long, is saying that Congress provided that the penalty should be assessed and collected in the same manner as taxes. And he's saying that the Anti-Injunction Act defines taxes as penalties. So is it penalties or not? Now, Paul Clement, he's also involved in this, the other angle, a former Solicitor General under George W. Bush, President Bush, is going to argue before the justices as the state's counterpart, the state's lawyer, saying that the mandate, not the penalty, is being challenged. So the mandate makes a huge, huge difference there. So let's say that this continues. Then you have day two, which some people are calling the main event, the main course, whatever. And this is the argument over the individual mandate, which, by the way, it's interesting. That word never even comes up if you look at the statute, but it's what it's called, and it means that everybody has to have health care, or, as I just explained, you get slapped with the IRS penalty. You know, we've been talking about that a ton here on America Tonight, the opinions galore. You can send me more at americatonight.net and just click on the email, and boom, you'll be in, because we're looking at all kinds of angles, like I said, on this, on what's happening with the Supremes and the challenge here. So the government's case is pretty clear. Congress, what they're saying is Congress has the authority to regulate interstate commerce, and that the mandate does that by regulating the financing of health care, which you heard our first guest, Ethan Rome, was talking about that, that it was necessary to carry out the changes in the insurance market, and basically that sums up what the argument would be. So the justices are only going to hear from the Justice Department, the states, and the National Federation of Independent Business. We've got somebody coming up from Independent Business to talk about it, to talk about what they filed. That's all part of the lawsuit. And, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at how many briefs were filed. Well, 46, and this is just on the individual mandate, 46 opposing the mandate, 32 supporting it. If we look at how many in general were filed, we're looking at 130 amicus briefs. You heard Judy Waxman mention that, 130 amicus briefs. Can you imagine? And, you know, this affects us. This is 18% of our economy that we're talking about. And how many millions of us does the health care law ultimately impact? So many of you listening to me, frustrated with your premiums going up, confused as to why that's happening, and concerned about businesses who have called this show to say that if the whole law is rolled out, they're not going to offer insurance to their employees. So without a doubt, could there be a bigger moment in our history? Certainly for the Supreme Court, you have to go back to the hanging chads, right, guys, to look at something, I think, this important. And that's why the unprecedented 6 hours is so huge. As I mentioned, over the next couple days, we'll be looking at this. You're going to have a chance to weigh in this on our Tuesday show, our Tuesday, actually, into Wednesday show. So remember, pay attention to some of the stuff that you're hearing, and we'll talk about that. And don't forget, also coming up later in the week, another Nail the Score. We have the final four set. Nobody nailed the score, by the way, last time out. Too bad. Kate Delaney, of course, here on America Tonight, broadcasting live from Washington. Hang with us. Much more to come.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Supreme Court is ground zero, as you all know, for the president's affordable health care law, swinging into now its third year because we just had the two-year anniversary. More parts of the implementation are set to kick in, including something we've talked about a ton on this show, the individual health mandate, which requires everyone to have health insurance or be basically fined by the IRS, if we wanted to break it down that way. Several states are challenging the constitutionality of the law. Who wins, who loses? Needless to say, this is huge for all of us. Dr. Richard Amerling joins us. He's the Associate Professor of Clinical Medicine at Albert Einstein College of Medicine and has such a huge resume that would take us all the show to go through it, but he's also the Director of Outpatient Dialysis at Beth Israel as well, fine medical center in New York. Doc, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We know you have to be busy.
My pleasure.
I saw a piece that that you put together on what we're talking about here, coming up with the really basically coming up with some points on to what's happening with healthcare, and I loved the title under the vision of the clouded utopian vision for healthcare ignores reality. You put it so succinctly in that header. What in your mind, as you watch already in the past 2 years, what's unfolded, is this really for the greater good of all of us here in these United States?
Well, that's what they always claim. And the utopians claim to be re-engineering things for the greater good. That's the perfection of human society, which, of course, can never be achieved. And I was very impressed with Mark Levin's book on this topic called Ameritopia. So I quoted a little bit from his book, or at least I summarized a little bit from his book. And healthcare, of course, is the utopian's dream. And this fantasy of control of people through healthcare goes all the way back to Plato's Republic, as he points out in his book. But it's not really about healthcare. The healthcare system certainly has problems, I think most of which are related to government policy in one way or another. But to try to take it over completely and reshape it from the top down has got to be a complete disaster. It's way too complicated a system for a group of elites to be able to do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's part of the problem. We're already seeing that in the couple of things that have happened in the implementation, and we're far from the whole law being processed all the way out, because the way the law, as you know, with the 800-plus pages, was put into action, the individual health mandate, which is part of this challenge, hasn't even kicked in yet.
That's right.
What happens? So we're challenging the unconstitutionality of this mandate for everybody to buy health insurance. And you kind of laid it out for us there, but why, for people, there's going to be people listening that say, oh, well, this is ridiculous. Why shouldn't everybody have health care? How can these, they're barbaric. How can these people not think that? But it's, and I see how you chuckle, and I agree. And what would you say to that? Would you say, you're a doctor. What would you say to that when someone says back to you, well, we live in the United States. Do you not care about people who don't have a ton of money?
Well, there are many ways to provide health care. The government cannot do it. And they've demonstrated how incompetent they are every time they try. And just look at Medicaid and Medicare for two prime examples of systems that are very heavily bureaucratized and also going bankrupt, if not already bankrupt. So it's not something that they're really well equipped to do, nor are they authorized to do this by the Constitution. And that's the whole point of these numerous legal challenges going on right now. And in fact, our organization, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, has filed our own lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of this act. And it comes down to whether government has the power to tell citizens that they must purchase something. This goes way beyond any possible interpretation of the Commerce Clause. If this is upheld, then there really are no limits on what the government, the federal government, can tell you to do. And you've seen recently how they're going to be applying this to insurance companies, which are private companies. They're going to tell them what they must provide and what they must charge. As in the case of the contraception mandate, they're going to have to provide this for free. So, you know, where do they get this authority from? It's certainly nowhere in the Constitution.
Yeah. The other thing to talk about with this whole thing is what the government health care, what they talk about a lot, and I saw this when I went to Washington and listened, talked to some really smart folks, but what they kept pushing and telling me was it's all about preventative care. But
right.
What would you say to that? Do we really know that that works when you tell people, come in and this is how you can reduce your weight, and gosh, if you lose 50 to 70 pounds or whatever amount of weight you have to lose, you won't have a heart attack. Do we know that people even gravitate toward this?
Well, there are ways of getting that message out there. And I this is something that I'm working on for my next article, by the way. It's why our healthcare costs are so high. And one of the reasons is that we are subsidizing healthcare in many ways, mostly through the tax system with employer-based care. And this subsidization of healthcare has, I believe, led to, in many ways, unhealthy lifestyles. Because we don't really feel an economic pinch when healthcare is being paid for by someone else, supposedly, you know, like other people's money. So we have allowed ourselves to be lulled into a sense of security that isn't real. So, for example, if you were responsible for, let's say, the first $5,000 of your health care coverage, of your health expenses,
sure,
and you have hypertension and maybe you've got a little bit of diabetes going on, well, are you going to spend that money on diabetes and hypertension medication, or are you going to lose that 20 pounds? You know, so this is the sort of thing that I think could be dealt with very readily by going back to a system where people assume more responsibility for their own care, not through a government telling us what to do. And, of course, they're paying for these preventive measures, which are untested, by taking money out of the Medicare program, essentially, almost $600 billion over 10 years. And so they're taking money out of a program for seniors who already have diseases. And every day of my practice, I see people who are desperately ill and who absolutely need care. And I'm kind of scared that the money is just not going to be there to take care of these people who are already sick. And this is what I mean about how they ignore reality. The reality is we have all these millions and millions of very sick people already in the system. And they're very happy to pull the rug out from under them to finance this utopian dream of preventive care where everybody is going to be eating granola and living to be 120.
I'm just picturing that in my head. And, you know, playing along that same fantasy, this utopian fantasy, with the doctors who then have to be concerned about what, you know, how can they possibly met out all this care, as you're saying, all the sick people that are already there. When you're talking about money and fixed fees for certain services, geez, what is that going to do to everybody? You just better, it's like you're saying, you better stay healthy. Is that the idea?
Well, yes. I mean, they've destroyed the systems that they've already been involved with, Medicare and Medicaid, through years and years of very heavy-handed price controls. And that's what's coming for the rest of medical care. Through Obamacare, through the private insurance business, which will then become heavily regulated, and they'll be told what they have to provide and how much they can charge. And the Independent Payment Advisory Board is this unelected, unaccountable group of 15 so-called experts. We don't know who they're going to be and who, you know, how they're going to be chosen, who are going to be making policy about what's going to be paid for by Medicare initially, but ultimately I am sure that this is going to cover all of private health care as well. And they are going to be, in effect, a rationing board. And this is where it's going to go. And doctors are going to be squeezed. Hospitals are going to be squeezed. Doctors will leave practice. There will be an even greater shortage of physicians than there is now. And, yeah, you're going to have your Obamacare card, but you're not going to be able to get care because there's not going to be anybody there to give it to you.
Yeah. What ultimately do you think will happen with some of your colleagues? What I'm seeing through some doctors I know is a lot feel like they're going to have to wrap up their practice and do something else medicine-wise because they don't, let's say, with a family physician, because it's not going to be even cost-effective for them to be in the business of medicine anymore. And I think that's a very sad prediction. But do you think that we're going to see that happen with doctors that you know as well? Do you hear this kind of talk?
I do. There are two major trends that I see happening now. One, which has really been gathering steam over the last 5 years, is that doctors are selling their practices. Doctors who have been in private practice are selling their practice and moving into the hospital setting in one way or another. And this way, they have a little bit of a protection against the changing laws. They have some cushion in terms of malpractice insurance. They may actually get a better deal financially on what they do, but they're then going to have to work for the hospital and follow the hospital protocols and guidelines, and they're going to have to be concerned about getting their patients out promptly. They're going to have to use the hospital formulary for their medications. So it will come with strings attached. So that's one trend, and I'm concerned about it because I think the doctors are going to lose a lot of their professional autonomy.
Yeah.
The other trend I think is actually a good one, which is that doctors are going to make a commitment to stay in private practice by getting out of their third-party contracts with different insurers and perhaps going the concierge route where they're going to charge a retainer fee to a core of patients to give them an extra financial cushion. They're going to cut down their office staff because they're going to just get paid at the time of service, so they don't have a huge billing staff administering these papers, pushing these papers around. And they'll simplify their practice and stay in the private practice of medicine. And I hope that trend increases.
Yeah. Dr. Richard Amerling, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We look forward to talking to you in the future. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much. Take care.
Thanks, you too. Thanks, Doc.
Bye-bye.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
If you are a sales professional and you love to help people and make money, stop everything and listen to me now. InspectorAudit.com is hiring brokers nationwide. InspectorAudit.com is the primary source for exposing all loan-related bank and servicing fraud. If you're passionate, driven to succeed, and you want to earn real money, then we want you. Call InspectorAudit.com right now at 855-552-9932. InspectorAudit.com, 855-552-9932. Commissions paid daily.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Micro plant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Once again, all aspects of health care and what's going to happen with the Supreme Court. 6 hours of oral arguments, if in fact it goes past the first day, which I think it's going to go past the first day because we're talking about the commerce law and whether or not what happens in the second day, talking about what is now referred to as the individual health mandate. We have Simon Lazarus with us. He is the Policy Counsel for Senior Citizens Law Center, right? It's in D.C. or some version of that. I might have butchered his title a little bit. But what we like about Simon is he sat down and he said, oh, just, you know, however you want to say it. So that worked out. Simon, thanks for stopping by.
It's a mouthful for a title.
It is a mouthful. All right, so the senior citizens are heavily factored into what happens. I mean, everybody's affected by this. 18% of our economy is healthcare. We've been talking about that all day long. But senior citizens are heavily factored into this. Medicare, Medicaid, all that discussion about that. When the law first kicked in, what do you remember? What do you remember feeling when that happened, when you heard that that had passed?
Well, I personally was very excited because I have long believed that the fact that this country does not provide universal health care and the basic economic security that goes along with it to essentially all of our citizens is a hole in the greatness of our nation that needed to be closed. And so I was thrilled that it had been closed.
What do you think? I keep asking everybody this, is because there's people that are listening to the show that will say, oh, man, that I agree 100%. But then, as you know, because it's very split with people, there are people that are listening that will be like, yeah, you know, the thing is, why should government be in our health care? It's going to cost more money. My job is going to insure me now. They're not going to hire people. Do you think a lot of that is misconceptions because the law isn't really folded all the way out? I mean, we're just in the beginning part of that, or what do you think?
Well, I think that most people in our country, one way or another, have health insurance or its equivalent. Either they're covered by employer plans, although fewer and fewer people are covered by employer plans, or they're covered by Medicare if they're old enough, or if they're poor enough, they're covered by Medicaid or some other program. So most people feel they have some form of health care and aren't clear as to why it needs to be provided to others. I think the important thing about this law is that in ensuring that most people will have health insurance, it means you don't have to live in fear, even if you have health insurance, that you will lose it if you lose your job, for example. It means you don't have to live in fear that when you actually sustain some very serious accident or illness, the insurance company can yank the rug out from under you by suddenly terminating your coverage or finding out that you were never really eligible. These are things which go on now. The health reform law prohibits insurers from doing that and things of that sort. So it really is going to provide real health security to everyone.
And do you think that when seeing this switch, as it starts to kick in, there'll be more realization of that? And also, as the population's getting older, because more people are crossing that threshold, right? So that's got to be a concern.
Well, I do think that in 2014, when many of the significant provisions of the law take effect, there will be an increasing awareness of their value. Particularly, I think, the exchanges that are being created in the states, which will enable individuals who don't have the luxury of having a large enough employer to sponsor health insurance will not suddenly find that they can get good health insurance for a reasonable price, which has not been the case in the past. So I do think that is true. But also I think, unfortunately, that health insurance is kind of invisible. We hear people saying the government should keep its hands off my Medicare, not understanding that Medicare is a completely government insurance program. So I think that the proponents of the law need to do as good a job as they can of explaining the law to the rest of the country.
Yeah, and you think that's part of the problem? I think that's part of the problem. I think there's a lot of confusion.
Oh, I absolutely. Well, there's no doubt that there's a lot of confusion. I mean, there's confusion, for example, there's all this opposition to the individual mandate, the requirement that most people carry insurance. There's enormous support for the assurance that everyone can get health insurance even if they have pre-existing medical conditions, which is one of the most important changes made by the new law. People don't seem to understand you can't have one without the other. You can't guarantee people access to affordable insurance even if they have very expensive medical conditions if you don't make sure that all people contribute up front to the insurance pool before they actually need to call on it.
What do you think the, because you're here, you're in Washington, what do you think the Supreme Court, you hear the buzz when you're out talking to folks, what do you think the Supreme Court will decide?
Well, I was there this morning for the argument, I can't say we picked up huge clues, but one thing I think that may be important is this morning the court heard an argument that there about a law that would prevent the court from hearing or from deciding whether the individual mandate is constitutional until after it actually goes into effect, which would be 2 or 3 years from now. And it was clear that none of the justices wanted to be kept from deciding this big issue. I think that might be a good sign for those of us who believe that the law and the individual mandate is constitutional. You might think that the relatively progressive justices who are believed certain to want to uphold the mandate might be looking for ways to put the decision off if they were worried that the mandate would not be upheld. But, of course, I don't really know that.
Right, so that's interesting. But, of course, sitting there, that had to be, wow, what was that like to sit in the court and see that?
It was incredibly exciting.
You didn't have to camp out overnight?
You know, it was a very funny thing. I thought that probably one would have to. Members of the Supreme Court Bar, that is the lawyers who theoretically argue before the Supreme Court, though I never have a special degree of access, but no one expected that to be worth very much. So I showed up at 8 o'clock in the morning, which isn't really very early, and got right in. I think maybe people were scared off by all the reports of hordes of people camping out overnight over the weekend and didn't bother to come.
And as an attorney, you know this. This was another misconception. There's not going to be some ruling that comes out this week. It
that's
doesn't happen
exactly
until the
right.
summertime.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's an easy misconception. There's no reason for anyone to apologize for that misconception. There's been so much hype about the arguments, which is justified. But you're right. After the arguments are over, the justices will start doing whatever they do to think about what they're going to do with the arguments, and there really won't be a ruling in all likelihood until the end of June.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Simon, what a delight to have a chance to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, you heard that Simon giving us the heads up, sitting in the court, that it doesn't look like this is going to get pushed off, that, in fact, there could be a decision. And looking at the full bench, a lot of people trying to handicap this. You have Sonia Sotomayor and Stephen Breyer and Clarence Thomas and Antonin and Scalia and Chief Justice John Roberts and Anthony Kennedy, Ruth Bader, Ginsburg, and Sam Alito and Elena Kagan make up the court. And in trying to predict this, it's interesting. I read an article in Politico, actually, this morning. And like I said, a lot of people are looking at the bench and trying to figure out, okay, how's this going to go? Is it going to go 5-4? Is it going to be declared unconstitutional? Or what's going to happen here? And almost everything I read has everybody listed as wild card, except for Clarence Thomas, who... One of the things I read about Clarence Thomas is it might be hard to tell what he's thinking because he hasn't asked a question or oral arguments in more than 6 years. So if that holds up, it would be hard to try to read into what he might think. And then there was something that I also read about Justice John Roberts, that he's had a couple of crazy episodes. He's in good health, but he had a couple of health scares. In the 90s and in 2007, he had some seizures just out of the blue. And the second time he had a seizure, which was just 4 or 5 years ago, he collapsed on a boat dock, apparently, near a vacation house in Maine and had to be rushed to the hospital. So in handicapping this, some people think that Roberts, the incidents that happened to him, show that, you know, you never know when you're going to have to use health care coverage because of some unforeseen thing. So if, in fact, Simon is right, the good news is Tuesday there's a big discussion, the meaty part of this, that so many of you are either completely for or completely against and think will destroy health care coverage, is the individual health mandate. And they're going to hear that for 2 hours, starting at 10 a.m. to noon East Coast time. We're going to have much more coming up on this show, talking about health care and the Supreme Court challenge next on America Tonight.